Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, coming to you from our flagship station here in beautiful San Francisco, KNTS 1220 AM. And also a little shout out to our new listener friends over there in Philadelphia on 1500 AM. We'll talk about more about that later. You are listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dean Orlando. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, doing great.
Very good, very good. This is going to be the best show we ever had, I guarantee it.
We have a pretty fun show lined up, everybody, today. Yeah. And the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4, DVD-XDV, the coolest software to pull content off your DVDs over at DVDXDV.com, MCE Technologies, the place to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, and upgrade, you name it. They got a brand new thing called an OptiBay. We'll talk about that later. Very cool. At MCETech.com, the official storage providers of the Inside Mac radio program, FirmTech. You can check them out over at FirmTech.com. And our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, The Digital Production Buzz, and of course the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program, printingforless.com. So how are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing great, man. This is going to be a killer show. I think we've got the best lineup in the universe right now. Maybe the best lineup in 1,000 years. It is the coolest show.
We have a couple cool things lined up today. We have, of course, later in this hour, we're going to have Philip Hodges, our Buzzmeister, talking about some cool stuff. And just mentioning that, Red's doing a preview at NAB New York.
Yes. Yes.
At 2 and 3 p.m. We'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
4K images, brother.
Oh, yes.
So we got our digital production buzz going. We got Andy Schell doing a Mac design out of the box tip about photography and using movie stuff. It's pretty cool. Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. We're going to have Stephen Levy on, chief technology writer, senior editor for Newsweek.
Yes.
He is basically, he's a contributor. He's contributed to Wired. He's done articles in Harper's, Macworld, New York Times Magazine, The New Yorker, Premier, Rolling Stone, and he's considered, along with Walter Mossberg from The Wall Street Journal, as a prominent and respected critic of Apple Computer. He's got a brand new book out from Simon & Schuster, so we're going to be talking about that stuff. He's going to be talking in the San Francisco Bay Area coming up here next week at the Stanford Bookstore, at Stacy's Bookstore, the Apple Store in San Francisco there on Stockton, and at the Berkeley Cyber Station, all kinds of cool stuff. So we're going to have Stephen on from Newsweek. Pretty
yes,
cool.
And
then in hour two, we have Robert Cohen on. He's a CPA. He was featured in Apple's business profiles. He's a CPA using all Mac stuff. So we're going to sort of dip into a little bit of Mac at work, a little Mac business stuff there. Dean is going to be with us here doing the weekly news roundup, and you got some cool stuff coming up too here, don't you?
Yes, I do. Mac sales are experiencing an all-time high. Find out how the Apple Store has played a big role in the rising sales on the Inside Mac Minute headline news.
Very cool there. So Dean is going to be with us doing that. And then we have Rob Schraub on.
This guy needs no introduction.
He's crazy. He's a comic book creator, actor, writer, film producer. He's worked heavily in the alternative television network website Channel 101. He's created a comic book called Scud, the Disposable Assassin, a short film, Robot something. I don't know if I can say it on the radio here. A television pilot, Heat Vision, and Jack, with Heat Vision and Jack starring Owen Wilson and Jack Black.
Yes.
He's doing a bunch of stuff.
It was directed by Ben Stiller. Yeah, that was the original pilot.
Yeah, for Ben Stiller. And then he's done a bunch of stuff. He's filming the Hell O'Clock News.
Oh, yeah, for the Tenacious D movie.
For the Tenacious D movie. So he's working with Jack and those guys doing Tenacious D.
Oh, yeah. Well, it actually goes back. Their relationship goes back a lot further. Rob will be able to tell us more about this. But
yeah.
But the really cool thing is coming to DVD this week is, of course, Monster House. And Rob co-wrote the original story and the screenplay for this movie.
And he just got done directing the video, Crooked Teeth for Death Cab for Cutie.
That's a great video.
Yeah, it's pretty
awesome
cool
video.
Stuff. So he's got some pretty wild stuff going on, and of course,
amazing
what does he
guy.
Use to do all this cool stuff with?
Oh,
a Mac.
Oh, yeah.
So there's our time with that. Just we have Rob on. So we got a pretty cool show lined up. Like I said, we got the guys from Newsweek, and we got CPAs, and we got,
we got a little something for everybody.
We got something for everybody. We cover all gamuts of the entertainment and business and professional deals. So there you go, the Inside Mac radio program. And next up here, like we said, we're going to have Philip Hodges, our digital production buzzmeister, talking about all the things going on in the land of production, post-production, distribution, anywhere from iMovie to 4K, 4K video. Very cool stuff. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio Program, the only place anywhere on the planet to find out all the things about your Macintosh live radio. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright, and this part of the Inside Mac Radio Program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred end disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out over at micromat.com. Now completely universal binary, all the products, Disk Studio, Protégé, all that kind of cool
stuff.
Yeah, so check them out.
You get basically a universal binary Protégé. You can operate it on any Macintosh, boot it, and go.
Yeah, it's
fantastic
cool
stuff. Very cool.
Right now we're here with Philip Hodges of Digital Production Buzzmeister, our correspondent for all things post-production, pre-production, distribution, finding out what's going on in the land of goodies this week. How you doing, Philip?
I'm great, Scott, but I thought Black Friday, the shopping spree, was not until after Thanksgiving.
Really?
Well, somebody forgot to tell Apple and Adobe.
Yeah? Yeah, they're buying a few things, huh?
They've been shopping.
Keep
Let's
going, guys.
Go shopping.
Oh, yeah. No, that's really fantastic. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, Apple have apparently purchased Silicon Color, the makers of Final Touch, high-end color correction tools. And from the wording of the acquisition, they may not be going to continue the product. It's not very Apple-like to continue a product that has, you know, in the 200 or 300 range, although that's about what Shake had when Apple purchased it, 200 or 300 users, I mean to say. So who knows? Because in typical enigmatic fashion, Apple say nothing. There wasn't even an official press release. There was just something on the Silicon Color website, which was a story that Digital Production Buzz news feed managed to break this week. We were first out by about 2 hours.
Ooh, excellent.
Yeah, that's why you got to pay attention.
And pay attention. Subscribe to the Digital Production Buzz news feed or check it out at osxfaq.com because it's reproduced there. And likewise, on later in the week, we were the first to break the Adobe purchases Sirius Magic.
You know what
that's
it is.
The name of the company.
That's right, Sirius Magic, DV Rack. Yes, Sirius Magic, yes.
And Ultra and all of those things. They are going to continue to sell the products and build them into the future versions of the Adobe product suite, production suite, which won't affect Mac users at all because none of that is available on a Mac except for Adobe After Effects.
Yes, yeah.
So it's much more interesting to talk about Apple buying Silicon Color.
I think so.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that they will Silicon Color. Do you think they're going to actually continue it as a product or just build this into Final Cut Studio and that's it?
You know what? I could say either or neither to that. I don't. They're not currently selling it as a product, which is not a good sign.
Oh, I mean, if you wanted to go out and buy Silicon Color today, like you had a big television show or movie, can you still buy it now?
If you wanted to buy Final Touch, you would have to find a seat at a dealer who had not returned it.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yes.
That's very different. So really, it's a product that is very tenuous at best right now. So if you really wanted to do some major color correction, you'd have to go to a post house that had it already installed if you wanted to use it, or you'd have to find, like you said, hunt it down and find somebody that had it.
Yeah, the thing about Final Touch, though, is that this is not a tool for your average editor. This is a tool for a specialist color corrector. That's why they've only sold somewhere in the 200 to 300 seats of the product. It's not something that I would feel comfortable jumping in because it's designed for somebody who's more familiar with the direct Telecine color correction suite, something in the $300,000 range. So it was a very good tool for those people at the very high end at a very respectable, you know, like 10% of the cost of the high end tool. That's with a control surface. So it's an amazing product, but it's not a product that everyone would want to use. And so I don't know if Apple is simply going to take the technology and integrate it as a like an extra part of a future version of Final Cut Pro, whether a simplified version will be another product in the studio, whether, as some have hypothesized, that the so-called mythical Final Cut Extreme product might include Final Touch. I personally don't believe that there will be a Final Cut Extreme. It doesn't make sense within Apple's general marketing to have a niche product, a appealing to very few people at a very high price. They tend to take a product like this and democratize it and make it available to everybody.
So what else is going on out there in the Apple universe? I mean, we've given Silicon Color a lot of plug in here. What else is happening there?
Well, I mean, if you're interested in getting hold of an actual shooting script, the one for Brick is available. You can get the DVD at Amazon, but you can also get the shooting script from Ryan Johnson. The whole 100-page script is available on his website. And if you're interested in converting standard DV to DVC Pro HD, Shane Ross's blog has a couple of droplets available. Actually, he's pointed to where it is at proapptips.com, where you have to sign in. And they're cool because they're free. And also, we get a new wide-angle converter for the Panasonic HVX200 from 16.9 Inc. If you really got to get in close and need to still get the shot, you can pick that up. But it's not cheap. The 0.75 wide-angle converter is about $9.95.
What about the new camera that JVC introduced this week? Or I guess it's shipping now, finally.
Yes, finally, the KY250 is GY-HD250 is kind of like a $10,000 equivalent or a better image quality than the 110 that's the low-end sub-$5,000 camera, if you shop carefully. Nice camera, configurable from studio to ENG to cinematography, and it does 720p/60, the high-end, high-motion, high-temporal sampling.
Of course, we don't know how that's all going to squeeze down into a 25-megabit stream.
No, but the other thing that's interesting about this camera, at NAB, they were saying that the MPEG-2 encoder, the all-important MPEG-2 encoder, is going to be twice as efficient as the one in the KY100-110 series of a year before. And that's, of course, that's the most crucial thing that you can control in getting better quality for HDV, is that MPEG-2 encoder, because it's the variable that the manufacturer can actually control. And like with DV encoders, we will see significant improvements in MPEG-2 encoders in these cameras over the evolution of the HDV format.
Now, they're saying that it does dual media, tape and hard drive. I'm wondering
it
if the hard drive recording...
hard drive component, yes, which is an OEM Firestore that JVC have been doing for some time, so you can go to either or both simultaneously.
But it's still 25 megabit, even on the hard drive.
It's still 25 megabit. It's a 25 megabit camera. In actual fact, a lot of the 720 stuff is at 19, the same ATSC broadcast standard.
Yeah, that's correct.
But it does have HDSDI out, though.
It does have HDSDI. In fact, the big difference between the 250 and the 200, which is in the same series, is that the 250 has a more comprehensive I.O. set of tools, kind of like the professional jack pack on the Canon H1.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that I really love about this camera is the fact is that it's a progressive, true progressive frame camera. It doesn't do a interpolated deinterlacing on a interlaced signal, but it's true progressive, and that really makes it, I mean, I think it blows up better, has a better sensor than cameras that claim to have higher resolution.
Yes, there's the two that do progressive. There's the new Canon V1, new Sony V1 that does true 24 and 1080, and then there's the JVC camcorders which do 720 progressive off a true progressive sensor.
Wow.
Wow. Now, Philip, how do we get more information on the Digital Production Buzz? What's going on with you guys on Thursday evenings? Tell us.
Just go to digitalproductionbuzz.com, and we have Steve Wright on next week's show talking about effects, digital effects work, digital intermediate color correction workflows, and we also have Sean Clements, who is a composer who's composed a lot of music for film, TV, and games.
Very cool. Philip, thank you so much. There we go, Philip Hodgetts. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program, the place to get all things about your Macintosh. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you've got some great content you've created, you put it onto a DVD, and now you want to pull it back off and reuse it in iMovie, Final Cut, QuickTime, you name it, anything, check it out over at DVDXDV.com. They got a brand new website, all kinds of cool new stuff. There's a new version. Got some new stuff going on with some deinterlacing, all kinds of cool stuff. Just go check it out over at DVDXDV.com. Right now we're here with Andrew Shallot. He is our Mac design out-of-the-box graphic tip meister.
Genius.
And, yeah, genius.
Genius.
Oh, Andy Shallot.
Don't tell high maintenance that. No.
Well, I should congratulate you guys. I think that we finally arrived.
Yeah?
I know, because I know that my son, Dunham, is in Santa Cruz, which is up there listening to you guys live.
Oh, cool.
I know that we finally arrived.
Yeah.
That's it. And he's looking forward to one of our guests we got coming up later, I think.
That's right. You're talking about Rob Schrab.
Yeah.
Who's both my sons are excited about that because one the student up at Santa Cruz is into filmmaking and the other one is an artist who does cartooning. So this is exactly what this guy does. I'm looking forward to hearing about what this guy has to say too.
Yeah, there was a huge crowd of people as I came into the studio today, just all chanting Schrab, Schrab, Schrab. It was awesome, man.
You said they weren't just saying slob, slob, slob.
It could have been. It could have been about me. Yeah, that would have been me.
Anyway, my tip for the week. Let's get right to it. In video, you know how video, when you're working on video or in film, you make markers so that you know when a scene begins and ends?
Yep.
Photographers often do that as well. Professionals do. And I think that we could use it in every time that we're doing what we know are like a long series of photos. So if you're out, for instance, at a sporting event or something, and you're taking 100 photos of something, and you want to know, like, this is the first quarter, second quarter, something like that, there's a very simple thing that people should take advantage of, and that's just simply take a photograph of with your lens cap on at the end of a sequence, so that when you then later on import it into iPhoto or however you import it, you will have a marker that tells you this is the end of a sequence.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
you know, it's something that we do. You do in filmmaking all the time, and we don't realize that when you're doing it for regular stills, it works the same way. For friends of mine do wedding photography, for instance, and they'll do that to know when, you know, like this is okay. This is the entry, you know, clink, and then they do a shot of their. It's a marker. They do a shot of their lens cap, just so it's a black shot. And if you're really smart, you can actually develop a JavaScript. So that if you bring it in, you know, into a program, it'll recognize that black thing, and then it'll sequence things that way.
Well, now it's of course because with digital photography, photos are basically free, so you can take as many as you want, and that's a great way of doing it. Just
exactly
snap so it in there.
That's my cool little tip of the week. I thought maybe Brad would find that interesting, since coming from the video side of things, which I think that's a common usage of video. You know, we in film, you always see the clapboard go, kung, kung. That's a marker. It's exactly the same thing. It lets you know when the end of a sequence has occurred, which is not bad using bringing into iPhoto and then later on into iMovie as well, because once again, you're going to be doing slideshows or something. You're sort of doing a scene like that. So that's our graphics Mac out-of-the-box tip of the week.
Hey, Andy, thank you so much. How do we find out more about Andy Shallot? You got a brand new book out. Tell us. We got about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, I got a new book. It's co-branded CNET McGraw-Hill. It's called CNET's Do-It-Yourself Mac Project. It will be out November 1st. You can find it on Amazon, or you can always find it at my website, which is shallot.com. And that's shallot.com.
Wow. Hey, Andy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
There we go. Andy Shallett, our graphics guru with another
graphics
cool tip.
Graphics genius.
Yes.
Andy Shallett, the genius.
Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
This is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis. If you need troubleshooting, training, advice, or technical support for your Mac, we can help. We can resolve most Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively, and we guarantee it. Plus, our cool internet-enabled remote control software lets us work with you no matter where in the world you happen to be. For more info or to schedule an appointment, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577.
Inside your life,
business, your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program, the place to get all things about your Macintosh, you name it, digital video, photography, geek out. This is the place to do it. We have everything for the consumer, for the enthusiasts.
For the pure nut. Macintosh maniac.
That's it.
That's it, man.
For the best in alternative lifestyles, the Macintosh.
Oh, yeah.
Throw that heathen box in the trash and step up to the Mac, brother.
Yes.
It's all good. You know you want an iPod.
Yeah.
And once you get an iPod,
once you get an iPod, you're hooked, baby.
Mac.
That's right. First one's free.
Yeah. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by MCE Technology, the place to get a brand new MacBook, MacBook Pro, a SuperDrive upgrade, you name it. These guys got all kinds of stuff, including a brand new OptiBay deal that you can take the optical drive out of your PowerBook or MacBook Pro, throw it in the trash. Not really. You put it in a new enclosure they give you.
Yeah.
But you can put another hard drive in.
Mm-hmm.
You can have 300 gigs in your PowerBook.
Yeah.
Or your MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy stuff. So you guys doing digital video or maybe DJing on the road, throwing down some vinyl at the party, laying some cuts down, baby. Boom. 300 gig.
Yes.
Pretty cool stuff. You can check them out at mcetech.com. Right now we're here with Sam Levin, the purveyor of cool Mac picks. Hello, Sammy. How you doing?
Yeah. Speaking of stuff to rock your world on the iPod scene, we got cool new stuff from Logitech. And guys, what I like about Logitech is they keep plugging away and keep plugging away. Now, they've come out with a new pair of wireless headphones called the Logitech Free Pulse Wireless Headphones. And this uses Bluetooth technology, and you can use any of the new iPods to connect. They give you a connector. It's a Bluetooth adapter. Connects to your headphone port on your iPod. They give you all the little spacers so that it'll connect to the proper sized iPod, whether it's 30, 60. I'm not sure if it works on the Nano or not. And wirelessly, it transmits your tunes from your iPod to the headphones. The headphones are over the back of the head earphones, so they're pretty comfortable. Last year, they came out with a pair that were not as comfortable, and they weren't over the back, and now they have. They're very, very light. I like them. They're $99, $99.99, so roughly $100. Check it out at Logitech.com. Also, you can use any MP3 player or your Mac or PC. So it doesn't have to be an iPod. They just give you those adapters to fit the iPod. That's what I like about the Free Pulse wireless headphones. And also on our list today is the iPod case of the week. Company called Orbino, that's O-R-B-I-N-O, Orbino, has come up with a line of hand-stitched leather iPod cases. These things are beautiful. They're $89, so they're not inexpensive, but they're all hand-built. Each one takes a half a day to build. Just check it out at Orbino.com. You'll see what I'm talking about. They come with a metal ring that's a fastener on the top. It's really beautiful. They make it for the 30, 60, and Nano. And I got to tell you, guys, I haven't seen a case like this. It's like high-tech meets country.
High-tech meets country?
No, I'm serious. It's like leather tools stitched on the side. It's like something you'd see out of the West, except it's got a high-tech finish to it. I can't explain it.
So there's like, you know, it's like it also has like a little, like they make like a case for like, you know, chewing tobacco too as well.
No, they don't. But they make handbags. They make briefcases. Some of their briefcases are $1,000. These are amazing, very, very high-tooled, high-quality leather called Urbino, the iPod Combio case for the iPod Video. And they come in like four different colors. Just check it out. You will love it. That's my iPod case of the week.
Awesome.
Sammy, thank you so much. There we go. Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks on every week. And also, we need to announce the winners from the iFrog deal from last week. We
have
people.
Go for
it. We have people that emailed us in, so we'll do that next week. So those guys that emailed us won a free, iFrog deal.
Yeah.
You know, the iPod case with the two handles.
That's very cool.
That's it.
That's awesome.
Use for your children or alternate lifestyles. Your call. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, more cool stuff. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. Inside Mac Radio is on the air, your one spot for everything good that is the Macintosh. Inside Mac Radio is brought to you by FirmTech, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac radio program with true SATA backplane, very cool storage stuff, tons of things new offered, Express 34 cards, you name it, cool stuff. Check them out, firmtech.com. I'm Scott Shepard with Brad Wright, and Dina Orlando's with us here with a little tease for the Inside Mac Minute and headline news. What are you working on, Dina?
Well, Scott, analysts are urging investors to buy Apple stock before January's Macworld Expo takes place in San Francisco. Find out why on the Inside Mac Minute headline news.
Ooh, very cool stuff. And right now we're here with Stephen Levy, Chief Technology Writer, Senior Editor for Newsweek. Hello, Stephen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You got a brand new book coming out.
That's right.
You do. Tell us about it.
It's about a subject that your listeners probably are familiar with.
Really? Tell us.
It's about the iPod. It's called The Perfect Thing, How the iPod Shuffles Commerce, Culture, and Coolness. And I talk of not only how the iPod got there and a lot of inside Apple stuff, but the cultural impact of the iPod and how Apple got the record labels to go along the download store and pretty much all you'd want to know about the iPod.
That's very cool. Now, this is published by Simon & Schuster, correct?
Correct.
And you're going to be speaking here in the San Francisco Bay Area in basically, what, next week, week after?
That's right. This coming week, I'm going to be at Stacy's Bookstore. I believe that's Friday. The Stanford Bookstore down at the campus on Wednesday night. And the Apple Store, off Market Street, on Stockton Street at... Saturday at about 5 o'clock, a week from today.
Right, and then you're going to be at the Berkeley Cyber Station too.
Yeah.
On Sunday,
the Berkeley Cyber Salon on Sunday.
Yeah, they got you. They got you buried here.
You're fully. You're at the best bookstores in the Bay Area, definitely for sure.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, well, I'll have to pull those earbuds out and start talking, huh?
Yeah. Now, Stephen, tell us. You're the chief technology writer and the senior editor for Newsweek. Tell us what you do over there, and you've also do stuff for Wired and some other things. So tell us what Stephen does when he's not writing books about iPods.
Well, I do a column for Newsweek called The Technologist, and I write basically cover the whole area of technology for Newsweek. We've got a couple of people working with me, but I have a pretty free rein. We don't follow certain beats. But one of the things I do cover pretty closely is a few really important companies, and Apple's certainly one of them, Microsoft, Google, and I've been covering Apple for quite some time, since way before I got to Newsweek, so it's really special to me.
So, tell us what Stephen's opinion is of the Zune.
Actually, I did get my hands on the Zune recently.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so what do you think?
Well, it's Microsoft's best try to date. It doesn't have that gotta-have-it feel of an iPod, though it looks better than some of the other Microsoft plays for sure generation of music players. You know, I think the idea that it has Wi-Fi could be a plus, but the only thing it does in Wi-Fi right now is it has the scheme where you could send songs to someone else with a Zune, and that really is not quite as featureful as it sounds, because you could sort of do that in a computer now a little more easily. And but in the future, one interesting thing is they could use that Wi-Fi for other things. And one example might be at a concert, if you know, the people on stage say, "Guess what? We're just going to send everyone with a Zune the song we just did. We edited it very quickly, and we're going to send it to everyone. And you can walk away with it. That'd be great." One thing they really got to rethink, though, is this idea that anything that gets sent out on a Zune goes away after 3 days or three plays, whichever comes first. I think there's a lot of cases where even the content holder won't want to have those restrictions.
I think this Wi-Fi feature is so cool because you can send a virus to everybody now. You just shut every single layer off. You know, it's like, woohoo! It's like having a Windows box all over again.
Well, that will be interesting. I guess the first report of viruses coming from it will mean that I guess people will need, you know, some sort of test.
Yeah, you need the Zune antivirus protection software as well as the Zune.
That's right. People will have their Zunes in sort of latex
cases. You said it, not me.
Well, you know, what's interesting about it, Stephen, is they completely abandon all their other partners for this Plays for Sure stuff. It doesn't even work on the Zune.
Sure, a little ironically. I mean, it is really an interesting thing how they promoted this other thing, Plays for Sure, and then the very company promoting that comes out with a system that doesn't play for sure on that previous generation. So, on the other hand, look, Microsoft had to do something. They just could not let Apple run away with this for the long term. Microsoft doesn't think for a second that they're going to make a dent in iPod sales this year or maybe even next year. It's a long, long crusade that they're investing in, and this comes from the Xbox division at Microsoft. And what they did at Xbox was they came out with Generation 1. Now it's 5 years later. They came out with the next generation, Xbox 360, and due to some missteps on Sony's part, they're farther along than they thought they'd be. So they think the same thing might happen here, though I don't know if Apple will fall prone to some of the problems that Sony's having.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, they're going to have a long way to catch up with the old iPod.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the iPod's already, its fifth anniversary is Monday. It's given us such pleasure and really has such an impact on our culture that it's great to see what it's done, and it's fascinating to look forward to what it might do.
Well, what were some of the most interesting things in your book that you uncovered what are some of the jewels that you found in doing this research for the book?
Well, I tell the story about how it came about for the first time. Apple, was very generous in cooperating with me on this, and I got a lot of the really interesting stories about how it came about, who did what, and even some of the songs that were played on it as it went on. This song by Rocket Boom by DJ Spiller was the first song that he played, and the second song was the theme from this western, the Big Country, which is sort of a broad Aaron Copland kind of thing, and it's just kind of funny to think of that big sound coming out of that little box. Of course, during that time, during the development process, Apple didn't use a little box. They used something much bigger, just to fool people who were outside Apple who might have had to supply a part for it because they didn't want to know other people to know the scope of what they were doing.
So it was like the iPod suitcase, basically.
Yeah. And of course, I got into things like the mystery of the shuffle. To me, the shuffle's the most exciting part, or one of the most exciting parts of the iPod. Just the idea that you can get your whole music collection and shuffle it. And I had noticed when I started shuffling my collection, that Steely Dan kept coming up much more than you would have suspected. It was represented much more than it was on the what came to my through my ears and what was in my music collection. And I wondered whether my iPod just somehow developed this affinity for Steely Dan while it ignored some other artists. And everyone I talked to and asked about this said they felt that their iPod wasn't shuffling randomly either. So I did a huge investigation. I was kind of like Woodward and Bernstein on this to kind of get to the bottom of the shuffle mystery.
It's a Steely Dan connection.
And I was grilling Apple engineers about what was, is it really random, and talking to mathematicians and cryptographers. And finally, I did come to the conclusion that it is random, and it's just basically the way we see patterns when patterns don't exist. We create them that leads everyone to think that their iPod really isn't random.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it goes back to this entire theory that, you know, no computer, it's very difficult for a computer to actually generate a true random pattern.
Absolutely. Yeah. My previous book was about cryptography and, you know, what was necessary for, you know, the kind of randomness needed for cryptography was very, very difficult to achieve. But I felt, you know, it really shouldn't be that difficult to achieve just to get the feel of randomness and to move some songs around. And of course, if you didn't achieve it, you wouldn't have a national security problem. But, you know, it was really interesting to see how people reacted to what came up on the shuffle. Some people thought their iPods had ESP. There's all sorts of odd things that people feel according to the songs that come up on the shuffle.
Wow. Now, Stephen, what are you most excited about with what Apple's doing right now, what they have shown, and what you think they're up to?
Well, I'm constantly impressed by how quickly they managed to update and improve and evolve the iPod. Last year in particular, they were doing real well with the things they had. The Mini was the most popular iPod, and they ditched the Mini. They did what Steve Jobs described to me, sort of like a brain transplant operation, a heart transplant, where, you know, basically they just, you know, took their most popular model and, you know, switched it to another model they hoped would be more, just as popular, if not more, than Nano. And that was sort of a risky move. That didn't work. You know, they'd have a pretty big hole in their sales projections.
Stephen, we're coming to a break. Can you hold on one sec? We want to carry you over to the next segment here.
Okay, sure.
You're here with Stephen Levy from Newsweek magazine. You got a brand new book coming out from Simon & Schuster. We're going to find out more here on Inside Mac. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Record of your call.
Where the world comes together of everything that's great about the Macintosh. This is Inside Mac Radio, and it's brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine. If you want the number one resource for digital imaging anywhere on this planet, check it out over at popphoto.com. We're here with Stephen Levy from Newsweek magazine. Now, Stephen, let's, I guess, continue on with what you were talking about before the break about what you thought was cool or what's coming up with Apple that you think just is... that just puts him ahead of anybody else.
Right. As we know, Apple is not very big on pre-announcing products.
No, they don't like that.
The closest they came this year is when Jobs pre-announced the ITV box, which is coming out. These are the first quarter of this year. That's the thing to get your video content and control your iTunes and other stuff through the living room and in your television set. So we don't know for sure what Apple has, but I'm sure your listeners, some of them might have read about Apple having a patent on something which is going to be a full screen iPod with a virtual click wheel. It's a touch screen that when you touch it, you know, the wheel would just appear and you would manipulate it on the screen as if it's there. Now, Apple has not confirmed or said anything about whether they're actually going to do something like this, but a lot of people think that might come, and a lot of people will think that eventually the iPod itself will have Wi-Fi, maybe done in the same way as the Zoom, but in a way to, you know, push the iPod even further. The big problem with that is battery. Every time I ask Steve Jobs about that, he says, you know, the battery life is a real hog, and so that's really a hurdle to get over to make a Wi-Fi iPod.
Yeah. What's it like to interview Mr. Jobs?
Well, something I've been doing for quite some time. The first time I interviewed him was when actually they were developing the Macintosh. I was doing a story for Rolling Stone about the Mac, and that's when I first met Steve. You know, it's interesting. I mean, he always has plenty to say. It's not one of those interviews that you have to worry about dead space. He's just very engaged. He's very protective of Apple and Macintosh. If you say something he doesn't like, he'll let you know. And, you know, maybe you could, you know, disagree with him a little, but he's pretty strong on his viewpoints. And, you know, over the years, it gets better because, you know, we go back a ways. And, I think there's a comfort zone that comes to basically covering someone for so many years.
Sure. So you guys sit down and different things, you know, it's old buddies.
Well, I wouldn't say buddies. I mean, we don't go out to movies together or stuff.
Right, right.
But it's pretty much, something I'm happy for the opportunity sort of at each iteration of Apple products, because I'm writing about it for Newsweek, I'll usually wind up conversing with him about it. And, there's a lot of themes that are pretty consistent over the year. One was interesting when I was writing The Perfect Thing. I went back and looked back to my very first interview with Steve, and I found that his views on design, say, are remarkably consistent. He was talking back then about when you his philosophy of design that has to be sort of zen-like, and you have to work harder and harder to strip off layers to make things the simplest thing. And I had an interview with him just a couple weeks ago to run a Newsweek to come out along with the 5th anniversary of the iPod and my book excerpt, and he said something very similar in designing the iPod. A big thing was to come up with the very simplest shape. So that was just fascinating to see how his views on design were so consistent over the years.
Stephen, we got 30 seconds. How do we get more information on your book, and how can they find your column at Newsweek?
You can find my book at any good bookstore, Amazon, the online places, and even the Apple Store. You can find me on Newsweek. There's an RSS feed for me. Just go to newsweek.com.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. We really would love to have you back talking about more cool things about the Mac.
I'd love to do it. Have a great day, guys.
There you go. Stephen Levy, Newsweek Magazine. You're listening to Inside Mac. Don't go away. We got more cool stuff coming up. Welcome back to the only place on earth where your digital lifestyle and the world of Macintosh come together every week. This is Inside Mac Radio in San Francisco on 1220 KNTS, and our friends listening today in Pittsburgh on 1550 WURP. So a little shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
They're starting to dig some tech, so
that's very cool.
We'll see how that goes, but you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program.
We're rocking the Mac from coast to coast.
That's it, brother. I'm Scott Shepard, along with Brad Wright, and hot from the pages of the Mac Minute Daily News, Dina Orlando, with all the news this week that made your world Mac-tacular. Now, Dina, what's happening?
Well, students at Princeton are choosing Macs. I'll tell you about the upward trend on the Inside Mac Minute headline news.
Very cool there. And this part of the Inside Mac Radio program is brought to you by American Photo Magazine, one of the coolest publications around for all kinds of great things on, high-end photography, digital and film. You can check all those guys out of what they have cooking over at AmericanPhoto.com. So, very cool. Stephen Levy there from Newsweek that we had earlier on the show. Sort of some cool insights. Been covering the Mac since 83, 84.
Yeah, so for the very origins of the Mac, he was interviewing Steve Jobs.
Right, and, so he gets to hang out with Steve, and they don't go to movies like he said, but...
I like how he mildly put that. You know,
we don't go to...
if Steve, you know, doesn't like something, he'll let you know. I think everybody can appreciate that.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, he should.
He should. He's got to let you know. I mean, that's what protects the Mac and the Apple. And the whole great universe that we're that binds the universe together. Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that's cool stuff there. And he does a very cool call every week. And like we said, he's does a deal for Wired too. And he's all over the place. So it's cool that he's got a new book out. And it should be very interesting. I mean, he is going to be at the Apple Store in San Francisco. And I'm sure he's going to be on other book tours because of his Simon & Schuster is a publisher. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not Peach Pit, is it?
No. Lose.
Oh, you got a bad cough there.
Yeah, I know. I have this little bug.
This little the Peach cough.
No, but Simon Schuster deals a big gig.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that'll sell a lot of books.
Yes.
So he's going to be there, and that's cool that he talks about all the things and the implications of the iPod. That is pretty crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, it really has become a different world. I think the iPod has really changed the world more than I think any other music player in history. I mean, it really has made an entire culture centered around the iPod and all things iPod. I mean, what is there, a case coming up for the iPod every minute? Every 30 seconds a new case appears or something? I mean, it's got to have more cases than any other device in history.
You can go into a Coach store or one of these other high-end deals and buy an iPod case that costs more than the iPod?
Yeah.
Got to be cool.
Well,
right?
You can buy a car, which is just a nice iPod case for your.
That's right. You can buy a new BMW holder.
I highly recommend that. I'm a firm believer in that.
Well, you bought one just to hold your iPod.
That's
right?
Exactly right. Yes. Right. That's the most expensive case that I know of.
Yeah, but it's cool though.
It's cool.
Protected
very
well.
Yes,
and it's got a big knob.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's got a steering wheel. The only case with a steering wheel.
Yeah. But that's pretty cool. And then later up here, we're gonna have Rob Schraub on.
Yes.
Crazy Rob.
Yes.
That's cool stuff, man. This guy makes the wildest animations. I don't know how.
We are, if you
haven't. They do these. I don't know, dude. But there's a Halloween one that we've been watching.
It's like, it's indescribable. If you love little videos and stuff, you got to go over to robschraub.com and just check out all of the stuff.
Oh, you got to go look at the Hell O'Clock News.
Oh, yeah. The Tenacious D movie. Yes. Yeah, I know. I really, he's going to tell us everything about it coming up, and I am so excited about that he's going to be on the show.
I'm
just thrilled to death.
And he's a Mac user.
Yes, yes.
I wonder what he's rotoscoping all this stuff with, Shake.
He's got to tell us, man. He's got to tell us the secrets.
After Effects?
I don't know, man. It's really cool.
It is fun stuff, So there you go. Pretty good roundup here. And then next up here, we're going to talk about accounting. Cool things about your Mac business, the Mac at work. We're actually going to have Robert Cohen on, CPA, talking about what he uses the Macintosh for in his business. And later up, Rob Schraub. We'll be right back. And, of course, Dean Orlando. Don't go away.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. There's just no getting closer to the world of Macintosh except here on Inside Mac. I'm Scott Shepherd, along with Brad Wright, and Dina's going to be joining us later with the Inside Mac Minute Daily News. But right now, this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Creative Pro, the place, if you're a creative professional, to get and find out all the cool tips about what's going on in the land of Mac creativity. You can check them out over at creativepro.com. Right now, we are joined by Robert Cohen. Robert is a CPA, and he was featured on Apple's profiles page under business stuff. Robert is a CPA, and guess what? He uses a Mac.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So tell us, you are a CPA, but you also use Macintoshes.
I do.
How's that all work together?
Yeah.
Well, I've been using Mac platform since 1986, and it works great for us. It's kind of a no-brainer. We're able to meet all of our clients' needs and all of our internal needs by using basically a Mac platform.
Yeah, one of those things, when you kind of think about business applications, you almost always think of that other platform, which we won't mention. But so how did you get all of this integration to work on your Macintosh?
Well, we use, for accounting, we use an accounting program called MYOB Account Edge, which is cross-platform with a PC. So our PC clients can use MYOB, and because it's cross-platform, we can use it on the Mac, and it's pretty seamless, and our clients really can't even tell, they don't even know that we're even Mac users. Third of our clients are Mac, two-thirds are PC, and Account Edge is a very strong program. It's as strong, if not some other stronger than QuickBooks. And then we use Microsoft Office for Excel and Word, and basically with those programs, we're basically able to meet most of ours, 90% of our needs and our clients' needs.
That's excellent. Now you guys are using, so you're using MYOB. Now, what would you recommend for people at home that want to put their accounting stuff in order so they would take them to an accountant like you, and you want to give a report? Because isn't that the best way that if people want to do their stuff, that they would actually enter all the records themselves? Or are they just better to bring you like just bags of receipts and say, here you go, here, Robert, help me.
Help me, I don't know what I did. It's got this big bag of receipts.
What we do is we encourage our clients to do their accounting themselves. It's pretty easy today. It's pretty economical. For a couple $100, you can go out and buy MYOB Account Edge and load it up on your computer. And you don't have to have next to no accounting background or experience to be able to use the program. And you have the power of an accounting program, and you can enter all your disbursements, cash receipts into this, and you can basically track your accounting on a day-to-day basis for home budgets or if you have a small business, which is great. And then at the end of the year, all you have to do is email us the data file or copy it on the CD and get it to our office, and then we can access the data file and bring it up and do your taxes with it.
Now, here's a question for you. Do you guys actually tell people what to do for setting up a chart of accounts to say that this number goes to this, so sort of works in with your guys' accounting deal? Or do they just go off the main template that's in MYOB and just do that, and it really doesn't matter? You guys will figure it out from there.
Well, it's a combination. What we try to do is we try to use one of the templates that MYOB uses, and then we go in and customize it for the client. MYOB does supply a lot of different various templates for different type of businesses. But every business is unique, so most of the time a business needs just to go and tweak their chart of accounts just to make it good for their business.
Right. Now, what about the other program that everybody's been using for years and years, and I don't even know if they're even updating the stuff anymore, but the Quicken deal?
Quicken is when it comes to small businesses, Quicken is basically an electronic checkbook, and it's okay for an individual, but if you have a small business or a medium-sized business, Quicken really isn't the best accounting application for you because it really isn't designed to run a business on. I highly recommend stepping up something like a MYOB Account Edge if you have a small and medium-sized business.
Right.
Yeah. So what were the things that really surprised you about the Mac platform? If people come over to the Mac platform and they're doing accounting on this, what do they find that really surprises them? And what do your customers say if they're new to the Mac? What do they say? Oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that. And, this has helped me so much in my accounting.
Well, the Mac platform, it's out of the box. It's very little support. It's pretty economical. On the PC side, I hear a lot of complaints where you have viruses, you have a lot of issues in regards to networking issues and support issues. And on the MYOB side, very seldom, if ever, do you have networking issues. There aren't any viruses. It's pretty seamless. Basically, you take the computer out of the box, you plug it in, and you're up and running.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the deal, and I think to myself, why would anybody ever want to have a PC?
Well,
that's, I guess they just don't know, huh?
Yeah, it's just, it's always, it's a concept that I've always, couldn't understand. It's kind of like a no-brainer to have a Mac. It's easy to use. It's on the back end, it's a lot more economical because you don't have to bring in consultants to do it. You don't have virus issues. Employees are a lot happier because the training and the ease of use. The Apple hardware is very, very dependable. Very seldom, if never, we've had a problem with any type of hardware issues.
Now, how many people are actually in your office at your firm?
We have between 5 and 6 people.
5 and 6 people. So a pretty small shop. And so you don't have really you can't have a massive IT company running your whole operation.
No. And know what? And there's no need to. We're fully networked. In fact, with my Mac, I can be basically anywhere in the world and hook right into our server and conduct business on a daily basis just by using Timbuktu. Application, we're able to do this with basically very, very little IT support.
Wow, that's absolutely fabulous. If you're let's say, for instance, what would your advice be to somebody that's on the PC platform, and what would you say to them to get them to come over to the Macintosh?
It's most people that are on PC have are basically, they've always been on a PC, and they really don't understand what the Mac's about. They've change is always difficult, and there's always a transition here. The big advantage of the Mac is basically allows you to do your business, and it allows you not to be a computer tech, and it allows you to be efficient and know a minimum amount about your computer and maximize amount of productivity in the office.
Robert, how would people get more information on you, your CPA agency, if they're in the San Diego area and they would like to use you as an accountant because you are, of course, on Mac? How would they get a hold of you?
They can call me on my telephone, 858-488-0525, or they can email me at robert@cowencpa.com.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking time out to talk with us about, accounting on the Mac.
Super. Thank you.
You guys rock. Thanks, buddy. There you go. Robert Cohen. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program, the place to hear all the things about the Macintosh and why it's so cool.
Well, we got Elvis Costello.
That's it. Whoa. This part of the Inside Mac Radio program is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac Radio show. These guys are true ink on paper offset printers. You can check them out at printingforless.com. Right now we have Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Headline News. Dina, what's going on this week?
Well, Scott, Apple's much-talked-about financial results were unveiled this week, and the company posted a 27% rise in quarterly profit thanks to strong Mac sales and higher shipments of the iPod. In fact, the results were well above analysts' estimates. Net income for its fourth fiscal quarter rose to $546 million from $430 million a year ago, and the company's revenue climbed 32% to $4.84 billion. Apple said in July it expected earnings per share of $0.46 to $0.48 including an estimated 3 cents per share for expensing stock options on revenue of $4.5 billion to $4.6 billion. For the current first quarter of fiscal 2007, Apple expects earnings per share of 70 cents to 73 cents and revenue to range of $6.0 billion to $6.2 billion. During the fourth quarter, Apple sold 8.73 million iPods, which is up 35% from a year ago, and 1.61 million Macs, which is a 30% increase from the year earlier period. Apple's retail stores are doing well also, as Apple CFO Peter Oppenheimer revealed that fiscal year 2006 revenue from its chain of retail stores increased more than $1 billion, over 2005. Apple's 165 stores brought in $963 million in revenue for the quarter that ended September 30th, 2006. That's up 41% from the same period last year. The Apple stores had a lot to do with the rise in Mac sales, as they sold 323,000 Macs during the quarter, a record number that was up 63% over fiscal fourth quarter 2005. In addition, Mr. Oppenheimer said, over 50% of the customers buying Macs in our stores were new to the Mac. Applying that rate to the quarter results, it was estimated that the average store had added about 1,000 new Mac customers during the quarter.
That's crazy. You know, and I just figured that out. That's over 4,000 iPods an hour.
Okay, that's speeding.
That's
pretty
good.
If you're going 4,000 iPods an hour, you're speeding. You'll get a ticket for that.
That means they sell 67 and a half iPods every minute.
Wow,
that's believable. Wow.
Every minute of the day for 3 months straight. That's over 67 iPods a minute.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good luck, Zune.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Loser.
We're going to get to that later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Analysts are predicting good fourth quarter results and a strong future product line and are advising investors to buy Apple stock before January's Macworld Expo takes place in San Francisco. Analysts at UBS, Needham & Company, American Technology Research, and Think Equity have all issued positive guidance to clients and have increased the market share across the board to reinforce their proposition. Analyst Charles Wolf at Needham & Company observed that the market share gains are coming in ahead of his expectations, stating, on the strength of the Mac's forthcoming ability to run Windows applications, we thought 2007 would be a breakout year for Mac sales, but we were wrong. The breakout appears to be already occurring. He holds a buy rating and a $90 price target on Apple stock. He predicts $22 billion in revenue for Apple's current 2007 financial year. And Think Equity analyst Jonathan Hoops expects more growth to come, pointing to the Mac OS X, iLife 07, iTV, and predicting an iPod mobile phone, a new iPod, flat panel TVs, and digital cameras from the company in the coming months. Hoops said, we believe Apple is ramped and ready to deliver plenty of holiday cheer. Coming up, the Zune has its critics. In fact, I know three in this very room. But find out how a whole race may find the Zune a little vulgar when the Inside Mac Minute headline news continues.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This is the place to find out everything that's going on in the world of Macintosh. And this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by, of course, our friends over at the Digital Production Buzz. Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Now we're back here with Dina, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News, with her roundup of the week. Take it away, Dina.
Thanks, Scott. More and more students at Princeton are purchasing Macs. In fact, 45% of all student computer purchases made through Princeton were Macs this year. The upward trend from 15% in 2003 to 25% in 2004, 38% in 2005, and now 45% in 2006. But students aren't the only ones buying Macs, as a large percentage of faculty members also use Macs. Steven Sather of OIT said a relatively high percentage of faculty use Macs, and the percentage has also increased over the past couple years. He said many faculty members in the engineering school have adopted Macs despite the fact that some engineering software programs only run on Windows. And for the last story, this is going to be fun. It seems that Microsoft didn't do its homework when it named its new digital player the Zune. The name may offend some people who speak Hebrew. You see, the name for the device sounds like a certain four-letter word.
Begins with F.
Specifically, the F word in Hebrew. Hebrew linguists are divided over the name Zune. Scylla Ratner, the head of Hebrew courses in the Department of Hebrew and Jewish Studies at University College London, said the Zune is an unsuitable name. But others are saying, then while the name is ridiculous and close to the bad word, it is unlikely to be mistaken. But wouldn't you think that companies would try to do some research before they attach a name to a product? Well, Steve Manning, the managing director for a branding agency in San Francisco, said they do. Companies routinely hire branding consultancies, that's a hard word to say, to extensively research product names, including translations in other languages. As for Microsoft, they said, while we do acknowledge the similarity in the pronunciation, that is not the intended meaning of the name Zune.
I can just see the scene, you know. They say, little boy, what would you like for the holidays this year? And he says, I want a Zune. And gets slapped, you know. You know, in some languages now, that's a four-letter word.
That's pretty sad. Pretty sad.
I haven't got to play one yet, but it doesn't sync with my Mac. I don't have a heathen box. So.
Well, yeah.
Zune it.
Zune it, yeah. Oh, Zune it. This product is zuned.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well. You know.
Yeah.
Why do they have Zune to, it, why man. Do they have to take a regurgitated Samsung media player and try to brand it and then put $1 billion in marketing? Why don't they just give the money away to people?
Because they're zooned. $5. They're just zooned up, man.
Oh, well. Yeah. You know, no accounting for taste, brother.
Absolutely. I mean, right. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Don't people do proper product marketing research?
You would think.
There's been products, but there's been some funny names and products that have gone over the years that people, you know, would find out in like Swahili or some African language that it meant something bad. But come on, this is a mainstream language. I mean, a lot of people speak this language. How could you get that wrong? You know, that's pretty amazing part. You
yeah,
know?
From
that's
the
just
beginning,
not listening.
I always thought that name was weird anyway. Well, there's something weird about that name.
it just sounds too similar.
Well, I mean, really, okay, for one thing, we're in the U.S., so who cares? Okay?
Yeah.
Secondary, speak English or, you know, oh well.
No? Okay. Yeah, let's tell the rest of the world to speak English. Come on, you Chinese, speak English.
You know something? Listening to this music right here, what would Angus say to him? Okay?
Let's rock!
I think it'd be something different than that. Okay? We can't say that because we have friends listening at the FCC. But maybe in a podcast, we'll say it later. Hey, we'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit agfa.com for more info.
inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by OSX FAQ, the number one source to get all the information you'd ever want to know about your Macintosh. Check them out over at osxfaq.com. Right now, we're joined by Rob Schraub. Rob is a comic book creator, actor, writer, film producer, and he does all kinds of cool stuff, but we're going to let Rob tell us what he does. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, we're doing great. Awesome. We are so happy to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, this is cool.
Happy to be here. Well, you know, I mean, in a nutshell, I'm like an everyman for the 21st century.
Yeah, that's
it. I kind of do it all, you know. But most of it, I mean, like, not to say that I'm a control freak or anything. It's just all I can afford at this time.
Right.
I can't get an actor. You just throw myself. I'm always available.
Oh, but you are such an awesome. You are. I mean, if anyone is out there is a fan of the Tenacious D movie, you've probably seen the website and you've seen some of the shorts that Rob has done. And I have to tell you, I love your character, man.
Hey, man.
I love that character. I'm editing
the last one right now as we speak. I'm rendering a green screen right now as I talk to you on the phone. So, yeah.
So, put a little Inside Mac logo in
before the movie gets
Yeah, put
done.
A little Inside Mac logo across one frame and we'll be famous.
Now, Rob, tell us about your workflow when you're doing this stuff. I mean, you've been shooting the Hell O'Clock News.
You're doing
all kinds of stuff, but what are you using for equipment, for gear? What kind of Macs are you using? What kind of software? What do you do?
Well, I'm a Final Cut Pro junkie. I love the program. It's like everything I've ever wanted in just like editing software. It's very simple to use. I, of course, if you've seen anything I've done, my stuff is usually really effects heavy and lots of graphics. And I think Final Cut is just awesome because you can do like quick green screens and, you know, animate mats like I'm doing right now and just lots of good color correction. You can make everything really super stylized and it's just so quick, you know. I mean, like when I was a kid, we had like Super 8.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, you'd like shoot something in your backyard and then you take it to the grocery store and then 5 weeks later you found out that
it was all shot.
It was all out of focus. But for this, you know, I mean, you could grab your DV camera and you can shoot something and make it look really pro, really, really cool.
Now, when you mentioned that, I did see that little short that you did on your website with Dino Wars. And how old were you when you did that?
Dino Wars.
It was brilliant.
My first clay. How old was I? Man, I think I was in like sixth or seventh grade.
Now these deals you do, Rob, with the clay animation and some of the stuff. I mean, of course, you can tell some of it's actually like the video stuff you did for Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh yeah, that was all done with Final Cut and After Effects, and
is any of this clay animation stuff where you actually do individual frames and put this together, or is it all done on the computer?
It's everything. I mean, like my style, I coined the term drawless animation because I try to make it look like a cartoon, but it's not actually drawn. Each one of those characters are like made out of cardboard with like rubber band jaws and fishing line like pulley systems. It's really, really, if you ever saw like the making of it, you would be like, how could this ever turn into anything cool? It's just basically I build all of the characters or the puppets out of like garbage, you know. I just pick out, you know, like wire and hot glue cardboard to it, and I just kind of bang on it until it looks good, and then I throw it in front of the green screen, and all I need is like just a couple of movements, and I can make a jaw like sync with the theme, and you know, with After Effects, you can use like motion tracking. You know, there was a character that's eyes were completely like animated with you know, like with like some Photoshop files brought into Final Cut, and we just, you know, just every level of those characters. I mean, like the body is like a 6-inch, you know, rubber band fishing line marionette, but the head is like just a normal like hand puppet that I superimpose onto the shoulders of it, and then the eyes are animated with After Effects. It's just all those things working together to make it look like as cool as it does.
Do you shoot this stuff with a these stills with a digital camera, or do you actually just use a little DV camera to shoot them?
Always use a DV camera. Sometimes I've been actually because like you know, it just sometimes it's just quicker. What I love about like the programs and everything, is the immediacy. You know, you just like grab it, shoot it, run it into your office. It's on a computer, and you know, bam! It's like seconds away from being completed. It's awesome. But sometimes, you know, stills will work good too. You know, I just for some reason it's that camera that just like I love it.
Yeah, there is something, and I guess we even go back a little further. You spent 5 years as a comic book artist, and one of the things I really was dying to know about your style is that, unlike a lot of people that shoot movies and that try to shoot movies, is you do a lot of quick cut, and it seems like every single scene is highly stylized and and just perfectly timed. How do you do that?
Well, you know, like I would say, like before I started shooting my own stuff, I didn't have a camera, so I did the comic book. You know, I always used to tell people that my reel was my book. And it's like I attacked it. You know, most comic books, like your traditional comic books, they just want the story down with a lot of splash pages and, you know, the arts first and everything. With me, I was kind of like, I want to storyboard everything. I wanted to just, like, make it very cinematic. So when I did Scud the Disposable Assassin, which was the comic book, it was just, like, the best training for timing. And so you just like storyboard out, and you just want to make sure that everything is as clear as possible, so the audience is on board and never has to play catch up. And that, you know, doing that for 5 years, and then jumping into Robot Bastard, which was my first shorts that I did on film, and then I started doing like these DV shorts. It's just, you know, it's all about like just timing and rhythm, and I guess I don't know how to like teach that. It's just kind of like a feeling.
So really, before you pick up a camera, you know, people out there, they should really, really spend a lot of time drawing this out, you know, effectively, or just pre-planning by visualizing it.
Yeah, I think, you know, before you even do anything, you know, you grab a camera, you just kind of either, if you can't draw, make up a shot list, you know, like I need to get a close up, I need to get a medium, I need to get a wide, I need to get a single shot of each character that's talking, and then just do that. Or if you need, you know, if you're more visual, like I am, I like to kind of like draw it out and do all the planning before like your actors or your props are built, and you just, so when everything is in front of you, you can just like dive into it and get as much stuff on tape or film, and you just have a lot more options in the editing room.
Well, tell us about the future. What is Rob going to be doing in the future? I know there's some things cooking, but
well, you know, I'm wrapping up the final thing for the Tenacious D movie, which is going to go on the DVD, and they need that all ahead of time, even before the movie comes out.
The DVD has to be finished before. That's like Spaceballs, right? The DVD comes out in the future before the movie.
pretty much. It's crazy. But I'm doing that. Then I don't know if any of your viewers or listeners know of a little project that I did a couple years ago called Heat Vision and Jack.
Yes, I've been dying. Tell us more.
It's you can go to YouTube. I have like a whole like if you go to YouTube, I have an account under Rob Schraub, which has got a lot of these videos, as well as if you go to just robschraub.com, all of this stuff is linked that I'm talking about right now. So like Heat Vision and Jack was a pilot that Dan Harmon and I wrote like in 1999 for Jack Black. This is how we met Jack, and it was about a renegade astronaut who got too close to the sun. His mind expanded, and he became the most intelligent man on the planet whenever the sun comes out. And his roommate got fused into the body of like an old Harley-Davidson motorcycle. And so the show is going to be kind of like a throwback to those Knight Rider, Gary Larson, Incredible Hulk, early 80s action shows. And
yeah, I see some hints of the Bionic Man in the opening, too, as well,
yeah,
which is just
totally like that. So go check it out. It's on YouTube. And And anyway, we just signed a deal to do a feature version of that. So we're, Harmon and I are working on it. We're going to be writing it up, and hopefully we can get this, and Jack's totally on board, so hopefully we can push this through and get this feature made.
That's cool stuff. What's it like? We got about 30 seconds here, so why don't we come back after the break? We'll finish up, but you got to go real quick here. What's it like working with Jack?
Awesome. It's like, seriously, I've worked with, like...
Is he as crazy in person as he is when he's doing his stuff?
He's probably he's nothing like what he is in person.
He is nuts, but I love him. You know, I mean, like, he's like the easiest guy to work for. I would do anything to work with him again. And he's super supportive, so we love him.
Cool. Rob, we're coming to a break. Can you hold on one second? When we come back, we want to tell people how to get to your website and check out your stuff.
You got it, man.
There we go. Here with Rob Schraub. We'll be right back.
When it comes to product development and the strategic direction of your business, not everyone can offer you a crystal ball. At the Industry Measure, formerly Trendwatch Graphic Arts, we're not clairvoyant, but soon it may seem that way to you. With extensive market surveys in the field at least 6 times a year, the Industry Measure delivers you reliable, projectable market data that makes growing your business seem magical. Digital printing, variable data printing, employee retention, overseas outsourcing, new media, investment projections in the creative, printing, internet, and publishing markets. The Industry Measure reports the variables that ensure your business never becomes a vanishing act. We measure the information you need in a wide variety of market reports, atlases, special and mini reports, on time and on budget. Hocus pocus? No, just focus. Visit theindustrymeasure.com, your industry data resource. The Industry Measure.
Informal, informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. If it's for your Mac and it rocks, you'll always find it here with the real story here on Inside Mac Radio. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. If you want to get all the updates for your Macintosh, keep it up to date, happy, and fresh, check them out at macupdate.com. We're here with Rob Schraub. Now, Rob.
Hey,
man, where do we get more information on the stuff you're doing with the Tenacious D Ruby, with Jack Black? The stuff you're doing with your own videos, all the stuff that you're doing, you got a bunch of stuff you're working on. Where do we find all this cool information? Plus, you got a movie coming out here on DVD.
Well, actually, no. I mean, all of his stuff that's, you tell us, Rob, you can get all of those episodes you can see on your page. You can go out and buy the DVD, which I did, and now I got to wait 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. dying, man. I want now.
Each one of those DVDs, I got like a bunch of DVDs right there. I got Twigger's Holiday, which is like a show that I did for Channel 101. Which is
your channel.
Festival.
Yeah, you actually created that, didn't you?
Yeah, I co-created it with Dan Harmon, and maybe you've seen some of the things like online, like House of Cosby's or Kicked in the Nuts or Yacht Rocks. Those are some of, or The Boo. A lot of cool people have really come out of Channel 101, like Tim and Eric from Tom Goes to the Mayor on Adult Swim, Andy Samberg, who used to do videos for us, is now, of course, on SNL. Jack has come and done many shows for Channel 101, and so is Sarah Silverman and Drew Carey and Jimmy Kimmel. Lots of people. It's like kind of like this cool little thing that we do. And
You can spend hours just watching stuff from there.
Tons of content. For those of you who don't know what it's about, it's like a miniature television network where you can like watch like these shows, and it's very competitive. But go to channel101.com to check that out. To check out my stuff, go to robschraub.com, and that's S-C-H-R-A-B, and you can look at stuff like Heat Vision and Jack, like the whole history of Scud the Disposable Assassin, my comic book. You can check out my short series, Twigger's Holiday and Ringwall and Moley, which is, if you've seen the Crooked Teeth video that I did for Death Cab, the Ringwall and Moley series is very much like that.
We were just watching the Halloween one.
Oh, we are dying.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys around here, you know, that are your fans, so we like your stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Our graphics guy, Andy, everybody's into your stuff, so your deal rocks.
You got to come back and see it, you know, come back on the show again, and hopefully won't get too famous.
Yeah. That Monster House comes out on DVD.
Yes, I didn't even get to mention that, you know. And what was your take on that? What do you feel? What's your feeling on it? Did you think that, you know, I mean, it came out the way you wanted it, or what's your, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, I would have rather directed it, you know.
We would have too.
To be completely honest, I mean, I think you're watching it, you know, this movie that you wrote like 10 years ago, and somebody comes in and directs it, and you're watching it. Of course, there's the entire time you're going, you did that joke wrong, or why did you do this? And I don't even remember who created that, and that has nothing to, you know, I try to separate myself from it, because, I mean, when you sit in the theater and everybody's laughing, everybody's enjoying it, and a movie does really well, why complain about it?
Yeah, why complain? It's the check coming in the mail, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, thanks so much for joining us. We'd love to have you back again talking about all the cool stuff you're working on, man.
Yeah. Hey, I'll speed along your DVD. You won't have to wait 4 weeks.
Thank you. I am dying. I gotta get it, man.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you so much, guys.
There you go. Rob Sharab. Cool stuff. We'd like to thank the guests of today's Inside Mac radio program. Of course, we just had Rob Schraub on. We had Robert Cohen, CPA, talking about all the great stuff about his Macintosh. We had Stephen Levy on, chief technology writer and senior editor for Newsweek magazine. And, of course, our normals. We had Andy Shallot on with his Mac Design of the Box tip, Sam Levin, Philip Hodge with the Digital Production Buzz, and Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute. Of course, our sponsors, Micromat, DVD, XDV, FirmTech, MCE Technologies, and our media partners, the Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo Magazine, Creative Pro, Mac Update, the Digital Production Buzz, Printing for Less, and of course, OSX Civic U. You can find out more information at www.insidemacradio.com.